If the business owners listening to the show today want to take three things away that can really help them make a progressive step on retention, what are the three things you'd advise them to do?
Always understand the expectations of your customers so that then you can meet them or exceed them. If a customer leaves or they don't buy from you again or they leave your organization, make sure you're having really good and clear data on why that is. And make sure you have a really clear communication strategy that everybody is aware of. So again, it's not just devolved to a marketing team. Your retention focus should be widespread across everyone in the company.
And if that climate can be achieved, everybody in the organization is a stakeholder in retention, and the retention process starts the day that person joins that brand.
Yeah, absolutely.
Small Biz Digital Media presents Connect, Convince, Convert, inspiring business success stories with Dave Bird, Steve Ennis, and Martin Hill.
I'm delighted to be joined today by the Deputy Head of School at Worcester Business School, Dr. Helen Watts. Helen, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Steve.
It's great to see you. We're here today to talk about a subject that doesn't often get a great spotlight in the business community, that of customer retention. What is it that is your particular interest in this field of expertise?
My interest in retention stems from my background as a psychologist. That's my trade. That's what I studied in for my degree, my master's, and also working as a psychology consultant. And I've always been interested in the business impact of how people think, how people feel, which is in retention, obviously connects with that. That led me to my PhD, which was in customer retention, and that was in fitness clubs, a really interesting industry. That study looked at all of the obvious factors. And when I say the obvious factors, I mean things like service quality, value for money, how people think, how people rate the brand or they rate the service. And academics would call these terms the cognitive or the rational factors. But the psychologist in me wanted to add more to that. So I was very interested in the emotional aspects that might underpin likelihood of a customer leaving an organisation. So I was interested in looking at variables, you know, things of interest such as anxiety, how customers feel when they're in a particular environment, and whether that translates into a business indicator such as leaving the company. That's what I found, that when there was a high level of discomfort, that was the main predictor of a customer leaving a fitness club.
Yeah, and discomfort in what perspective in that environment?
So this was in relation to being in a fitness environment. So this could be discomfort coming from how capable the customer felt when they were in the gym. Did they feel capable of using the equipment? Did they feel capable of performing the movements that were needed? Did they feel like a fraud being there? Mm-hmm. Did they feel judged? Did they feel self-conscious? That was the only predictor that, after a couple of years of doing a longitudinal study, that was found to be a predictor of why people left. So for me, retention has got to focus on some of the cognitive and the rational aspects, so quality and value, but also not overlooking the emotional sides of the customer experience.
So if that anxiety was felt, their needs weren't being met. Mm-hmm. So is it fundamentally about organisations really tuning into what are the needs on a personalised level for each customer?
Yeah, absolutely. It sounds quite obvious, but I think it's often overlooked and often assumed incorrectly. I think it's really important for businesses to understand the diverse mix of their customer base. And they all have different needs, different motivations for using their products or their services. When we're talking to our customers, do we recognise those different needs and those different use cases?
And to the business owner looking to learn further about retention and the opportunities for their business, what courses are available to them that might be helpful?
So for business owners, I would be recommending our executive MBA. We have a sustainability theme, which runs through that, but also we have some really good marketing modules, which talk about customer retention, building customer relationships within that. So you could really have a very business-focused, very practical marketing learning journey within that course.
Yeah, some really tangible tools to take away from.
Absolutely, yeah. At undergraduate level, we have courses such as business and marketing. We also have digital marketing, where we look at all kinds of marketing threads, such as customer relationship management, brand management, integrated marketing communications. There's lots of different modules that we include in our degrees, but I feel quite proud to say really that we include lots of different practical tools. So we teach students that enroll on our courses really practical skills, such as using marketing tools like Hootsuite, HubSpot, other CRM tools, WordPress, how you can build blogs and build relationships with your customers. So we have lots and lots of different marketing inputs. We look at the process of marketing, we look at the strategy of marketing, but also the creative side of marketing and how we can really engage with our customers in creative ways.
It's funny, but the subject of retention has never had a greater opportunity, because there are more means than ever of learning and listening to what customers have to say and think about your brand. So what are the things that are emerging by way of the use of technology that can aid a business owner in defining and improving their retention?
I think we are, again, in a really exciting world at the moment of using artificial intelligence for good. For example, having machine learning, you can plug algorithms into large data sets to find really meaningful predictive models. So from a quantitative perspective, we can very quickly identify trends and patterns in large quantitative data sets. But also we can go through large qualitative data sets, looking at what customers have said, what they've typed into an online form. And we can use tools that can really unpick that very quickly in a very meaningful way.
And the translation of that data, does that then guide a business owner to change the model and change the customer interaction?
I think it should, definitely. And I think one of the most contentious areas, I guess, with retention or working with any big data, it's how it translates into a decision. And that's where artificial intelligence does have its value, because it takes the bias and it takes some of the reluctance out of decision making, and it allows more decisions to be made in an objective way.
Yeah. So science can help, and definitely new means of technology. But the business owner of today still falls into fairly predictable traps when it comes to retention. So what are the things you've observed most that business owners should look out for that don't take them down those cul-de-sacs?
Sometimes retention is given to the marketing team or the sales team without thinking about the touch points that customers have with all of the functions in the business. So this could be the finance team, this could be operations, this could be administrative divisions in the company that might be having some really significant and frequent interactions with the customer, but are they talking the same language as the marketing team? Are they matching what's being said on the other brand assets like the website, on social media? One of the best things that a company could do is to have someone that's managing all of the assets, all of the touch points, and making sure, number one, they're identified, and number two, they're optimized.
And you talked about not necessarily adding more data to a business's portfolio on retention, but really understanding and appreciating what you've already got and being able to be responsive to it. So again, if a business was to look at what they've got currently, what are the KPIs that you'd really want them to be examining and putting their energy behind?
I think it's interesting for companies to look at their customers' referral. So how often do their customers make recommendations and referrals to other customers? It's difficult sometimes to predict retention, but you can get a measure of intention to buy a product or the intention to stay. This really depends on the business model that the company has, and it depends on whether retention means repeat purchase or does retention mean a continuation of a relationship. They're very different things. But I think definitely word of mouth and their intention to buy a product again and how much they're using something that they've purchased.
Yeah, we use a phrase called raving fans and advocacy. Retaining a customer is one thing, but the best vehicle you've got for growing a business is that retained customer becomes an advocate. So how does a business owner create that environment where the happy customers become ambassadors for the brand?
Well, I think the first thing is making sure you've got a clear strategy for staying in touch with those advocates, motivating the advocates to play that role. To have a good retention strategy with customers, you've got to have a really good retention strategy with those really high value customers in particular, and offer them something more, recognize the value that they offer.
You're a business leader yourself and a business owner because you're a deputy head of the business school. So these strategies, how do they play out at the university?
In the business school and across the university, we are extremely student-focused. We know our students by name. And I think this is one of the reasons that I personally really enjoy being part of the leadership team in the business school. All of our students develop really good and close relationships with their personal academic tutors. Mm-hmm. So these are designated academics that are there to look after the needs of their students, to respond to any queries, concerns that those students may have. And we're there every step of the way. So we stay with them from the moment they join us, whether that's in September or January or any other intake that we might have. And we stay with them for the duration of their course.
That will aid the reduction in anxiety. It will also, it sounds very central to a personalisation for each and every student in the environment. Just tell us, how many people does that involve?
In the business school, we can be looking after anywhere in the region of 500-600 students at a time.
So to the business owner looking at this, that's an achievable goal where you're talking about thousands of individuals. If the business owners listening to the show today want to take three things away that can really help them make a progressive step on retention, what are the three things you'd advise them to do?
Always understand the expectations of your customers so that then you can meet them or exceed them. If a customer leaves or they don't buy from you again or they leave your organisation, make sure you're having really good and clear data on why that is. And make sure you have a really clear communication strategy that everybody is aware of. So again, it's not just devolved to a marketing team. Your retention focus should be widespread across everyone in the company.
And if that climate can be achieved, everybody in the organisation is a stakeholder in retention, and the retention process starts the day that person joins that brand.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fabulous. Helen, it's been wonderful to talk to you. Thank you for joining us today. We hope you've enjoyed that. Take these things away and put them into place in your business.
This episode of Connect, Convince, Convert was produced by Dave Bird and presented by Steve Ennis. Be sure to subscribe if you enjoyed it, so you don't miss any future shows.